So, thank you for being here this afternoon. And feel free to find a posture and a place in the hall that you're comfortable in. So it's also okay to lie down, I don't mind. Point your feet at me. No worries. Thank you. So the first thing to say is, if you can't hear me or you don't understand something that I'm saying, you'd like me to say it again, please feel free to stop me. It'll be really good for me, so you'll be doing me a favor, and possibly someone else sitting in the room who maybe also can't understand or can't hear. So I often find, especially at the beginning of a retreat, but at many points in life, that it's very helpful to feel into intention, to connect, to question, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Not in a heavy or kind of stressful, panicky kind of way, but just in a light, gentle, curious way. What am I doing here? And I might be asking this quite a few times during the next 40 minutes or so. And if it's a question that you've found yourself asking through the day, maybe in slightly different words, maybe in your own words, one thing that can be really interesting is to notice how the same words or the same question can come up at different times with kind of a different tone or a different energy. And just noticing that and seeing if whatever the tone, whatever the energy, whatever the kind of light or atmosphere that this question is coming with, if we can kind of trace back to the base question, to the base questioning of what is my intention, what is it that I'm doing, why is it that I'm doing this. And noticing also with that just how much change there is internally and externally. And being in a place like this, we can really get a sense of that as we're constantly in a change and a shift outside. How many degrees of sunlight have there been today? From very clear, bright, hot, strong, to completely cloudy, to that very clear, bright light of early morning, which doesn't have a lot of warmth in it, but still has something, some very special quality. So in the same way, also noticing the changes, the movements internally in ourselves, in our moods, in our mind states, in the different colors that we have inside. And this questioning of what am I doing here can be kind of all that's needed, can be something that's really we take with us over the days, over the moments, over the time. It can be something that leads us through our process. In whatever different level is touching us in that questioning at that time. You know, it can be, what am I doing here on this earth, in this body, in this life? It can be that. Or it can be, what am I doing here right now, in this moment, right now, as I'm listening, as I'm sitting, as I'm feeling that fly land on my face for the what feels like the 100th time in the last 5 minutes. Any of those, what is it that I'm doing here, now? And so really kind of shifting our attention to that, to our experience, to what is happening moment by moment as it unfolds. And also noticing the relationship. So noticing the unfolding, the moment by moment unfolding of my experience. And then also noticing the moment-by-moment unfolding of my relationship to my experience, how I meet it. How am I meeting my experience right now? How am I acting? How am I relating? And I find it helpful to sometimes really break that question down. What am I doing, or what is happening here, now? And feel free to ask that of yourself right now as we're sitting here in the hall. You don't need to give all your attention to me. You can equally, as you're listening, really listen inside to what is happening. What am I doing here right now? What is happening in my experience? What is my involvement in what is happening? And where does my involvement lead to? Three really important questions. What is actually going on? What is my involvement with what is going on? And where is that involvement leading? Are you two trying to liberate some flies? Bees, even better. So I'm just going to give a few examples which are hopefully simple and relevant to our experience here, just to kind of make this a bit more alive. So the first example that came to my mind earlier today was, for example, if you arrived at breakfast today and saw that it was porridge. So there you are with your bowl and your spoon and possibly your hunger, and there's the pot, and there's porridge inside. So it's just a fact, it's just a happening, it's just an unfolding. Hunger is there, and porridge is there. And then there's our reaction, or our involvement to that happening. So it can be, oh no, porridge. I really don't like porridge, and especially I really don't like this Indian wheat porridge. I wish it was oats. Am I going to have it for 7 days or 18 if I'm staying for the whole time? Is this what I'm going to have for breakfast every single day? And maybe no one here has had this particular example, but I'm sure you can think of other ones that are very similar. So there's just a very simple happening event of breakfast and our relationship to it. Or it can be the opposite, you know. Oh, I love porridge, this looks so great, I really hope we're going to have it every day. what am I going to do if after today we don't have it anymore, or whatever it is. You know, there can be whatever way we run with it. But there's the actual experience, and then there's the happening around that. And another example of the same thing can be sitting in meditation and experiencing some discomfort. It can be pain in the body, it can be a fly wanting to crawl up our nose continuously. So again, there's just the happening of a fly landing in my nose. And then there's the relationship to it. Oh, that tickles. What if I sneeze? I really want that to stop. It's really uncomfortable. What if it crawls all the way in? Whatever comes up in our mind. I'm glad I'm getting you to laugh. Yeah. So whatever comes up. But if we can just see that process of the actual happening and then the relationship. And then as we pay more attention to what is going on internally, we can also start to see, well, how is our involvement, how is our relationship, where is that leading us to? And it's not always clear, but it's just another question to have that. Is this leading to happiness, or is it leading to unhappiness? Is it leading to an open heart, or is it leading to a closed heart? What is the process? So if we go back to the porridge example, that's quite a simple one usually. So whatever the reaction was to the porridge, let's say it was, oh no, I don't want this. What if I have to eat this every day for 18 days? Then we can really clearly see very quickly that it's not the actual porridge that is causing the suffering. But it's our relationship to it and the activity of our mind. Which is then just taking a very small thing that is happening for probably 10 or 15 minutes of eating the porridge and making it into an 18-day experience. Something that's going to last over 18 days. And so what I really want to encourage us to do is just to notice this and to see. Because often when we notice, we have an opportunity to slightly change things, slightly change the course that we're traveling on. So in the Buddhist tradition, there's imagery used for this kind of process, which I find really helpful, and I'm actually already doing this. So maybe someone can guess what I'm going to talk about. So the image that is used for this process of the experience and our relationship to the experience, our involvement with the experience, is an imagery of two wheels. Two wheels that are turning in our lives all the time. And I want to speak a little bit about them. So the first wheel is called the wheel of karma. The wheel of karma. And I'm not going to try and define karma right now. That would take probably 6 Dharma talks at least. But karma as the kind of life force of chain reaction, of things creating each other. So a continuous process of past leading into present and present leading into future. Just a continuous turning. And at the root of this process, or in the Buddhist imagery, it's the axis of the wheel. It's the central part of the wheel around which the wheel turns. It's made of 3 elements, which are usually translated as greed, hatred, and delusion, or desire, aversion and ignorance. So we can say these are the qualities in us human beings which keep us in this existence of constantly turning but staying in the same place, we can say. So if I go back to the porridge example, and hopefully this will be the last time, but no promises. So we can see in that example, I get to the pot and there's porridge. And then my reaction is, I don't like porridge. So that is aversion. Yeah, that's one of the three elements. That is aversion, or hatred is the other way it's described as. It's something I don't want. And so then my energy goes into that not wanting. And I don't know what your experience is, but I can sometimes stay in that not wanting for a very, very long time. So then that becomes the experience, not wanting. And so I'm continuously keeping that experience going, maybe even 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours later, until the next morning at least. In my mind, because I don't like porridge, I don't want porridge. Take the porridge away, please, someone. So it just keeps going in my mind, beyond that time that it took me to eat the porridge or to fast, whichever one I chose to do. Or if I had the other reaction, which is, yay, porridge, I love it. I really hope that I have it every day. That's greed or desire, wanting to hold on to something, which again just keeps that experience going. So it's not just breakfast, time for breakfast comes, I have breakfast, and then life moves on. I get stuck in the breakfast. I get stuck in the pot of porridge, trying to climb out for the rest of the day or for 5 minutes, it doesn't matter, but for longer than I need or want to. So another example of this, how this wheel of karma works, I think I find a very good example of this is an argument, particularly with someone that we've had a very long relationship with. It can be a family member or our partner. And so maybe, you know, I'll use myself. Maybe I've had a bad night, or I'm getting my period, and I'm in a bad mood. Or I don't even know that I'm in a bad mood, but there's something there. And then Nathan does something. And that's it. There's the reaction. And why did you do that? We could do a role play if you want. So, why did you do that? And he's like, you know, what are you talking about? And that's what I'm talking about. You always do that, you know. I bring something up and you say, does that sound familiar? Whatever it is. And then, you know, he's fed up with being calm about it. So he'll react. And we start living a dynamic that's actually not just of the moment, but is made up of previous events as well. That's the wheel of karma, just kind of rolling around and escalating if we don't notice, if I don't notice what's happening, or he doesn't notice what's happening. If it's two people, either one can usually help to stop it. But that's the wheel of karma, kind of escalating and growing, bringing up old memories, old things from the past, and what about that time? Whatever it is. So these are kind of the ways that we keep this wheel turning in our lives. When we don't really notice what's happening, when we're not really aware. And so then we get caught up, or one of my favorite teachers, Pema Chodron, she uses the imagery of getting hooked, like a fish gets hooked on the hook when someone is fishing. we get hooked into some kind of momentum that just leads to more of the same or to more suffering for ourselves or for others. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's a bit dense for the first day maybe. But at the same time, yeah. Does that make sense? Please ask if it doesn't. Don't be shy. So I'll take that either as a yes or as it so doesn't make sense that we don't even know where to start asking. Okay. Yes, please. It seems like there's a contradiction. So it's actually a really good point for this question. The continuity I was speaking about yesterday was the continuity of bringing ourselves to what we find beneficial or helpful in our lives. So in this case, the continuity of just coming back to practice, coming back to meditation, coming back to the breath. And what I'm speaking about here is this kind of momentum in our lives that feels out of control. And most of the time, it's a momentum that we don't actually notice, that we don't really feel is happening until we're kind of really caught up in it. Does that make sense? Okay. You want to ask more? Yeah.
Because this good kind of continuity, it's also based on our memory of previous things, right? So it's not just focusing that it is doing in the moment and then I can go through in contrast to the previous story that connects it to other moments.
So, yeah, say it again for me. Probably is. You can also do it in Hebrew if it's easier. I can try. It is actually like it is an important point. So, if you feel like trying again, it's good.
In the courage is unheard. You said, "Well, the bad thing is that I'm standing with the courage more than actually eating the courage." Or when you're fighting with Nathan, then it connected to all the previous times you thought about these things or the deepest meaning. But actually, when you're in a relationship with me, then you're also connecting it to all the previous times.
So what's the difference between this kind of... So you're asking what's the difference between... So I guess that part of the difference is between... So for example, in the example of a fight... So it's often, if I give the example again, say I didn't sleep well at night. And then, so I'm actually irritable and unsettled and unhappy in myself. But if I'm not aware of that, not taking responsibility for that, then if he does something, even if I'm right and he's done something really, really annoying, what I'm doing is I'm putting my unhappiness on him. Yeah, I'm saying that's, I'm feeling unhappy because you did that. And if he doesn't, if he picks that up, we'll be kind of throwing it back and forth. If he doesn't, I'll probably try more to get that reaction because I don't actually want to feel my own unhappiness. And that's kind of the wheel of karma going around. So I'm creating more, because I don't want to feel unhappiness, I'm actually creating more unhappiness. Does that make sense now? Yeah? Yeah. So that's the example. And in the same way, if I was staying in a relationship that was no longer wholesome or nourishing for me, because in the past it had been, I would also be doing the same thing. It's not about pleasant or unpleasant. So if I was just in a relationship because, 2 years ago, this was a wholesome, nourishing beneficial relationship to me, but right now it's not anymore. But I'm holding on to that memory because I'm afraid to do something else, or I'm afraid to acknowledge my own unhappiness right now. Then I'm still creating suffering. Make sense? So this was a really good question. It came really at the right time, because if what we're talking about here is how to get out of this being caught up in this wheel, and if we go back to the traditional image, the greed, hatred, and delusion are imaged, the images of three animals kind of holding each other's tail to mouth. Each one is holding the other's tail, and they're all caught up in this circle with no escape. Whereas, of course, the escape is if they just let go. Yeah? If you just stop holding on to what is causing suffering. But, of course, that's not so easy to do. It's not as easy to do as it is to say. So what helps is to actually notice what is happening in me right now. What is going on right now? And it brings us back to that question I asked in the beginning. What am I doing here? So if I'm picking a fight with my partner, that question is really relevant. What is it actually that I'm doing here? Is there really an issue? Or am I just trying to get rid of my own unhappiness by dumping it on someone else? And if there is an issue, is there another way to address it that would actually free something as opposed to just staying caught? Or if I don't like porridge, what is it that I'm actually doing by dwelling on that dislike? And what would be a different way of dealing with that situation? And so by, often just by taking a break to notice what is happening. So if I feel myself getting angry or annoyed or upset or hating something or somebody, if I just turn my attention inwardly to actually feel what is happening in my body, what is actually going on right now, I can often connect to what is underlying that. And so not get hooked, not get caught up in the story, but actually just be able to be with the bare experience. So be with the experience of porridge rather than the memory or the idea of it. And that allows me to also do something else than what I normally do. To just say, okay, so porridge is. And maybe I'll be surprised and it'll actually taste good. Or I'm just going to eat fruit and raisins. And then I might find that it's enough and that I'm happy with that. And this is something we can do all the time. We can do this with every breath. Or we can always do this. We can always just connect to the breath. If I feel myself getting caught up in something, and it really feels like this, you know, you can really feel it in the body particularly. Just stopping, if possible, and taking time, taking space to change perspective, to allow space. So in this imagery, there's also another wheel. So that was the wheel of karma. And there's also the wheel of dharma. It's the second wheel that's moving around in our lives, the wheel of dharma. And dharma is a word that has many, many translations. Again, I'm not going to attempt to kind of speak about it too much, but in this context, we can say dharma as teachings, as truth, as what is, as the way things are. These are all kind of ways it's spoken about. And for me, the image of it that's mostly most helpful is the place where we stop struggling against what is happening, and we are just able to be with what is as it is, which then usually allows life to move on much faster. And I had a great teaching of this, which I'm going to use, from one of my nieces. This was a couple of years ago. She was 4, I think, at the time. And we had come to look after her for the afternoon because my sister had to go and work. And so we met at this playground and with my sister and my niece, and we were all at the playground, and it was time for my sister to go. She had some clients waiting, and her 4-year-old daughter really didn't want her mommy to go. And so there was a long process of, you know, I'm just going to count till 10, and then you can go, and then till 11, till 12, then you can go. And eventually mommy had to go. And little Naama, my niece, you know, had the kind of heartbreaking tantrum that only a small child can freely have. And she was screaming and crying and kicking, really, really wanting mommy not to go, which I think we can all understand. But mommy had to go, and mommy went, feeling as bad as her daughter, but she went. And so there we were, left with this screaming, kicking, crying 4-year-old. And my mother was also with us, and her first reaction as the most experienced parent amongst the three of us was to say, okay, let's just put her in the pushchair and go. So we did, but she was so upset that she was really, you know, it was getting kind of dangerous. And so, you know, I asked her, what do you want? And she said, I want out of this pushchair. So I said, okay. And we got her out of the pushchair, and she was still screaming so much and crying so much. And so we stood there, and I said to her again, what do you want? What do you want right now? And she was trying to tell me, but she was crying so hard that I couldn't understand what she wanted, what she was trying to say. And so I said to her, you know, sweetheart, can you just take a breath and tell me again? And so she took a breath. And then she said, I want to walk home. And I said, okay, you know, no problem. You know, let's walk home. Don't want to go in the pushchair, that's fine. And we walked. But that experience has stayed with me, because this is so much what we all do. Something happens not the way I want it, and so I struggle against it. And I get so caught up in my struggle that I can't stop. And so I can't even express to myself or anyone else what it is that I want, what it is that would help to stop this struggle. And what helps usually is to take a breath, is to stop, is to be able to take enough space to be clear. And it was a really great teaching, because when I asked her, what do you want? My expectation was that she was going to say, I want my mommy back. But she had moved on. You know, even a 4-year-old, this is the amazing thing, you know, she had the capacity to let go of what wasn't possible. And to know what was going to help her. And what was going to help her wasn't to be strapped into a pushchair. No offense to my mother at all, she's a great mother. But to actually walk home, that was what was going to help her. And so she just needed that tiny gap of taking a breath and expressing it. And it's the same for all of us. It's no different. Just having that little space when we can let go of struggling against and we can move on with life. We can allow, we can let go of not getting what I want. I'm not going to get my mother right now, but I can move on into something else. And so for me, the Wheel of Dharma is really about this. Finding what is helpful, what is nourishing, what is wholesome for me. And aligning myself with that. Connecting myself to that. Finding what is what helps me let go of what causes suffering in my life. So that I can let go of that and sow different seeds, not seeds of suffering, but seeds of happiness or of contentment. And it's a very alive exploration because life is constantly changing. And so what we're doing here is really familiarizing ourselves with how we operate, how we work, by taking time, being quiet, not doing very much, but just really turning the attention in so that I can see. How does this work? What triggers stuff in me and in what way? How do I react? And how often do I react in the same way, not because that's the most useful way, but it's just because that's the way I'm used to reacting. Recognizing when I shrink and become very small. And training ourselves to remember in those times, at those times when I feel small, when I feel trapped, when I feel hooked or caught up in a momentum, training myself to stop, to take a moment, to take a breath, so that I can reconnect to something that's beyond just that momentum of karma, that momentum of habit, that momentum of being small. And equally, learning to recognize and to know what nourishes, what supports me when I feel relaxed, when I feel open, when I feel connected. So that these elements of my life are also more accessible. And that when they happen, I can fully experience them and nourish myself with them. So that I can bring more of that into my life instead of less. And even just so that I can enjoy it when it's there. Just so that I can enjoy it when it's there. So that I don't miss the beauty of the sunset because I'm busy thinking about something else. So during our time here, lightly, gently questioning, what am I doing here? Looking at my experience. Seeing what is happening. Stopping when I need to. We have this kind of very special situation when we're allowed to stop. Even when the bell rings and we think we should be doing something because the bell rings, we can stop for as long as we need, to really notice and feel what needs my attention right now, what is happening right now, what am I involved in right now. Or another way of asking that is, which wheel am I turning right now? Am I turning a wheel that is leading to suffering, or to narrowing, or to limitation? Or am I turning a wheel that is leading to opening, to freedom, to nourishment? And remembering to do that with kindness, with gentleness, not making that another way of generating negativity. But really from that deep wish we have inside to live well, to be free, to be loyal to our inner wish for care and compassion. And the beautiful thing about this image of the wheel, for me, one of the beautiful things, is that it doesn't require any extreme action. So if we're speaking about the wheel of karma, we're not being asked to kind of stop that wheel. That's not what we're being asked to do. We're just being asked to turn it less, and turn it less, and turn it less. And we've all seen wheels turning in our lives. The less energy we put into turning them, the slower they go. And eventually, they just stop of themselves. And the same thing with the wheel of Dharma, which just naturally gains momentum as we turn that wheel in our lives. Each time we act in tune with our hearts, with our deep being. I have a love of the Tibetan tradition, and one of the things that I love is the practice of walking around places. And there's often prayer wheels that are there, and whoever passes just turns the wheels. And so often if you're walking along one of these routes, you come upon a wheel that's turning. And who knows how many hands have turned it before to make it move. Many times by the time I reach it, there's no one in sight. But the wheel is turning. And then I also add my hand to that momentum. And it's a reminder that this turning of the wheel is beyond the individual. It's not just about what I do with my life. But by asking these questions, what am I doing here? Which wheel am I turning right now? Beyond just me, it influences others, known and unknown. So a turning of the wheel that is beyond just me, beyond the individual, aligning our lives with what is precious for our own happiness, for our own freedom, and for the happiness and freedom of all others. So let's just have a quiet minute or two to end. questioning, our inquiry, and our practice together. Nourish freedom, compassion, and wisdom in all beings everywhere, including ourselves. Thank you for your presence and your listening.